You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Praise God. Turn with me. I'm not teaching the same thing I taught last Wednesday, although I am using the same psalm to start with. So I just want you to know that if you're turning there. But, you know, it's something similar in the sense that I really want to teach on the next few Wednesday nights to be teaching on authority. And tonight, probably just authority 101, I guess you'd call it. Of course, we'll probably label it something else. If you're writing tape titles, don't write that down. But, you know, there's Psalms 8, if you want to turn there. We'll get to it in just a minute. You know, there's a big question. You talk to the world, people in the world, and even Christians sometimes struggle with this. We talk about a good God, and then we look at the evil and the corruption, the wars and the famine in the world. And, you know, that's an issue. It's undeniable. It's there. A lot of people, you know, are the persuasion, even amongst Christians, that God is in control of everything, that God's behind everything. And then, of course, the world comes up and they say, well, wait a minute now. If your God's a good God, then why is all this going on over there, the starving kids around the world, famine, the wars that we hear about, all the corruption and the wickedness that's going on? Surely, if God's good, he's not doing all that. Well, I would have to side up with the world in this on this respect. Stay with me. Because if God is doing all that, then we have a real sadistic God. What in the world's going on here? I mean, is he getting pleasure out of just putting pain on people and killing people around the world? I mean, these things are the facts. This is undeniable. You can't, whatever you believe, you know there are wars in the world. You know there's famine. You know there's evil. Hello. So evidently, either God's good, stay with me, or he's not. And of course he is. We know he is. And if God's good and there's a lot of bad things going on, then much of what's going on must not be God. Now, if that's all you knew, you didn't know anything about the Bible, you just knew that much, that God is good, and there's a lot of bad things going on in the world. There's no way you can paint evil good. You can't make it good. You can't make kids dying of starvation a good thing or a blessing or, you know, that God somehow is doing something good. No. Good is good. Bad is bad. Isn't that right? I mean, you know what sin is. You know what righteous living or holy living is. So we can't confuse those issues. So this idea that has crept in our thinking, you know, about God being behind everything, control of everything, really, that is not a Bible doctrine. The Bible does not teach that. Now, to say that God is going to bring it all back around one day, Jesus is going to come again, God's going to take it all over again, there's going to be a new heaven and new earth, yes, I agree 100%. The Bible teaches that. But to say that he's in control of everything that happens every day is unscriptural, unbiblical. Are you with me? And we have countless examples in the Bible of people who violated God's will, rebelled against God, and God didn't stop them. He let them do that. He wasn't behind what they did. He didn't want them to do what they did. He told them not to do what they did. Are you with me? So we can't blame God for what they did. And just the presence of evil in the world, the presence of sin out here, is not an indictment on God. Sin actually came because of man's free will. It came because of way back in the Garden of Eden. We know Adam sinned. Sin entered the world through man, not through God. And most of the evil in the world, most of the poverty in the world, most of the corruption in the world, the wars in the world, is man. Influenced by the devil, yes, but we can't blame it all on the devil. Hello. Man's made choices. You say, well, how's poverty man's choice? Well, just look at governments. I mean, governments are run by people. People make decisions, good or bad, that affect the whole country. You know, I make decisions that affect my family. And my family sometimes really is the victim of my decision-making because I'm in authority. Governments, they have leaders that are in authority. They make decisions that affect whole nations and whole countries. We understand that. Can't blame God for that. That's just bad decisions. That's sin reigning in man. Hello. I mean, governments can turn around, serve God, do the right things. And we can sometimes wipe out poverty in nation after nation if we'd all do that. But, of course, you know, that's not going to happen. We live in a fallen, broken world. Hello. Murders? I mean, that's somebody murdered somebody. That was a decision somebody made to go kill someone. That wasn't God killing someone. That was someone that violated God's law. And because of free will, they murdered someone. Can't blame God for that. I mean, you could just well look at hell and say, well, there's a hell over here. There's a lot of hurting people out here in hell. And there's a heaven over here, and there's a lot of great people in heaven having a big time. How could God allow all that? Well, God's not behind hell. He gave them every opportunity to go to heaven.
That's right. Amen.
Are you with me? Yep. I mean, everybody in hell, God didn't put them in hell. They went there by their own decision or rejection of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And a lot of what happens in our lives is our rejection of His promises or His word, or it's someone else's rejection, because we're all in this together. We're all affected even by other people's decision. Just because something bad happens to you, it's not always your fault. It could be someone else's fault. But it's not God's fault.
Right.
Are you with me? And actually, if everybody in this earth, now this will not happen till Jesus comes, we know that because the Bible is very plain. But if everybody in this earth got saved, accepted Jesus, and took their God-given authority, we'd turn the world around in a week. Sure it would. I know that the Scripture says we can do that. But that's not going to happen. Scripture also says it's not going to happen. But you know what? You can turn your world around. I can't change the whole world. I don't have authority over everybody, but I got authority over me. I got authority over my house, my situation. I can believe God for me, and I can make a difference. And all Christians can make a difference bit by bit, piece by piece, person by person. Amen? And we're going to have to do that. We got to realize that that's why we're here, is to make a difference.
That's right.
We've been given authority to do so. You know, there's a prayer. You've heard it. You could quote it. It's called the Serenity Prayer. They quote it in AA. You know, I learned it years ago. Man, I went to AA when I was like 13, 14. They had Alateen. They had Al-Anon for the spouses, Alateen for the teenagers. And then, of course, AA was for the bona fide alcoholic. And the rest of them were just kind of pre-alcoholic, I guess, if they didn't get right. The whole point was, if you listened to do what they said, you wouldn't turn into an alcoholic. I paid no attention to it when I was that age, But we used to say this prayer. Actually, Reinhard Niebuhr, I don't know how you pronounce it, said it. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now that is a powerful prayer. I've heard people in my camp say it's unscriptural. I think it's very scriptural. It is extremely scriptural, because there's a lot of things I can't change. I can't change you. Hello. There's a whole lot of things I can't change. I can't change how I was born. I can't change the color of my skin or whatever the case may be. A lot of things I can't change. I can't change everybody. So I got to, you know, God grant me the serenity, except things I cannot change. But, wait a minute now, I need the courage to change things I can. And me, I can change me.
Amen.
Then, the wisdom to know the difference. Because our frustration comes from many times one change something we have no right to change and have no authority to change. Or allowing something to continue that we should be stopping and changing, not understanding authority.
Right.
Psalms 8, y'all found it?
Yes.
Let me run over it just briefly here, and I want to go back to Genesis. And a lot of you, these are scriptures you'll know and recognize. And, you know, good question is, who's in charge here? You know, that's what happens when you get into a big mess. You walk around, you go, who's in charge around here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's kind of the question the world's asking, and sometimes we ask it as Christians. We look at the world, what a mess it's in. We think, dear Lord, who is in charge around here? Well, I can tell you one thing, God's not in charge around here. And that's not slamming God, that's not sacrilegious, that's what He says. He actually put us in charge, and that's why it's in a mess. And it will be that way till He comes back and straightens it all out. But now you can get a little order in your life or in your marriage. Hello. If you will obey God. In other words, if you allow God to be back in charge of your life again, yield yourself to Him, give yourself over to Him.
Right.
See, God didn't overrule Adam and Eve when they sinned. He let them sin and allowed them to go their way, and sin came into the world. And since they were the first man, the first woman, the father and the mother of all mankind, sin came into the world, and the whole world's been in a mess ever since. The Bible says, in Adam all die, in Christ all shall be made alive. And the Bible says, through man, sin entered the world. That's how it came in. It wasn't God's deal. God didn't want it. But God gave free will to man, and He gave him authority. And if he messed it up, well, he's just going to have to mess it up till God comes back and takes it back over. And He will. He's going to do that. Just hadn't done it yet. Psalms 8. We read this the other night. Let's go on down to the third verse. When I consider your heavens the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels and have crowned him with glory. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. Wow. So God made, if you say, what is our function? That's a good good question. I know I love tools. You know, I'm a carpenter, do carpenter work, and like building. And man, I'll tell you what, I just love all the different tools they've come out with, all the neat little tools. And I like the power tools. And, you know, the good question, you see something you've never seen before, you go, wow, what does that do? What's its function? What was it made for? Are you with me? Because people make something with a purpose. They have something in mind, the master, the designer, the... Well, God made us, now get this, God made us to have authority. He made us to dominate this world, to control this world, to take over this world. That's the reason the world's in such a mess, because Adam, when he messed up the world. And every single bad thing that happens, this is going to shock people, and I know people take it out of context. We live in a world of sandbox, but listen to me say this. Every sickness, every problem, every mess is because of sin. It's always because of sin. May not be yours, but it's somebody's sin. Maybe somebody else's sin has affected you. And ultimately, we can always go back to Adam and say it started with him and his sin. God never ordained anybody died. Death was a result of sin. God never ordained anybody get sick. Sickness came because of sin of Adam. And I'm not saying we're going to solve that. We're not going to solve that problem until Jesus comes back. We can alleviate it in our lives personally, but I can't change the world. I can start with me and my house. I can determine I'm going to have a better marriage or I'm going to get some healing. Hello. Are you with me? And you're going to have to fight. You've got to fight, fight, fight. You know, we talk about genetics, send the genes, send the blood and whatever. You know, they've got this disease because of parents. Well, that's true. I understand that. But you trace that back far enough, you're going to finally get back to Adam's sin where it all started. That's why I believe at one point we can break that curse. We can break that thing in Jesus' name. We can fight tooth and nail. We've been fighting tooth and nail for Travis for years. Not letting go. Not going to give up. Doesn't matter about whatever happened to his body, whatever he was born with, whatever disease he has, diabetes and all the damage it's done and his kidney and his livers. And no, we're not giving up. We're not giving up. And he is alive today. Amen. Because they have prayed and believed and we've agreed with them. And because we know that's not God. God doesn't want that to happen. That's just the world we live in. And the world we live in, the mess it's in, is not God's fault. Woo. God's good. Okay, so he says, you made him to have dominion over the works of your hand. The Message translation says, I've been reading that a lot lately, starting in the third verse says, I look up at your macro skies, dark and enormous, your handmade sky jewelry, moon and stars mounted in their settings. Then I look at my micro self. My macro skies and my micro self. I look at my micro self and wonder, why do you bother with us? Why take a second look our way? Yet we've so narrowly missed being gods. That's really a better translation if you know the truth, because we were made a little lower than God, not angels. We've so narrowly missed being gods, bright with Eden's dawn light. You put us in charge of your handcrafted world. Repeated to us your Genesis charge. What? Well, who in the world's in charge around here? Look in the mirror. Hello. I mean, you know, if you want to talk about what's going on in our country, you know what? That's because of people have made decisions. What's going on around the world? What kind of wars are going around? People in authority have made decisions, some good, some bad. Don't put that rap on God. God didn't do that. That was the authority he gave us. We're the ones who messed that up. Even poverty in some nations are because of decisions those nations made. The heads of those governments made. And brought that upon themselves in many cases. Thank God, you know, other nations are helping and giving charitably and helping out people that are in famine around the world. But you can trace things back to sin, and you can always trace it back to authority. And it's always going to come back to man. Man's either yielding to God or he's yielding to the devil. Turn to Genesis. Now, you understand the context I'm saying. Don't run out of here and say everything bad happens in your life is your personal fault. I didn't say that. I said it's sin, but it's not always. It's sometimes it's yours, but sometimes it's just the world we live in. So if you get hit or sucker punched with something bad or a tragedy, don't take it. Well, sure, look at yourself, see if you did something, but it doesn't always mean you did something. But one thing for sure, God didn't do it. Amen. There's a bigger picture here. There's a whole lot bigger picture. This world's been messed up ever since Adam sinned, and sickness and disease was never God's plan. In fact, If sickness and disease were somehow God's plan, then he wouldn't even be concerned about your body. When you die, you go to heaven, that'd be it. But the Bible tells me and you that he's actually going to come back and get this body, because he didn't intend for it to die. Get it? I mean, really think about it. If that was part of God's plan, and you know, you get saved, you go to heaven, that's all that really matters, then he wouldn't even be concerned about your body. He'd just let it rot, let it lay there. But the Bible says Jesus has come back, and this corruptible will put on incorruption, this mortal will put on immortality, death will be swallowed up of life. Hallelujah. And grave will lose its victory, death will lose its sting. Because God intended originally for you in this body to live forever. See, something about Christianity is different than other religions. Religions, a lot of religions talk about living forever. But Christianity is very unique. We're going to live forever in this body. Most religions, it's real ascetic or mystical. It's secret type teachings and mystical teachings. You know, you're inside, you're going to live forever somehow, some force, some energy out there. But Christianity is real plain. This body, God made it. He made the visible world. He made the invisible world. The visible world's kind of messed up because of sin, but God's going to come back and he's going to straighten it all out one day. And this body you're in, it's been decaying and dying every day. You know, the outward man perisheth, the inward man is renewed day by day. One day, God's going to come back and he's going to change that body back to its original state and intent. It's going to live forever, and you're going to live forever inside it. Amen. If you leave it before that day happens, that event takes place, you spiritually will go to heaven. Your spirit will go to be with Jesus. But you'll come back with him and be reunited with this body, and every molecule will be resurrected and changed, hallelujah, because God's into life, he's not into death, never has been. Amen? Woo! Good day coming. Amen? Don't be blaming God on all this stuff. He's not behind the bad. He's good. He's good. Genesis 1, notice this. It's helping you. I get stirred up when people slander God like that. I don't know what it is about me. I just, something inside me gets, they'll say, well, you know, God did this. And I'm thinking, God did not do that. What kind of God are we talking about here? That God, for some reason, gets pleasure out of making me sick and destroying me and burning my houses down and killing kids. And, you know, what kind of God is? That's not the Bible God. He doesn't do those kinds of things. Not only does he get pleasure out of it, he gets glory out of it, if you listen to some people talk about it. Well, it's for his glory. No, I tell you what's for his glory. Eternal life is for his glory. Health is for his glory. Heaven is for his glory.
That's right.
Okay. Now, Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. Let them have dominion. I love that. I taught one time not too long ago how that God created us for authority. Actually, I said that earlier here about what's our function, what's our purpose, like a power tool. What's our function? Our function is to have authority. It's to bring order into chaos. It's to correct and guard and... And there's something messed up out here. I don't know if you noticed it, but the world's messed up. Well, we're here to straighten it out, bit by bit, piece by piece, person by person. I can't straighten out the whole world, but I can start where I am, and I can affect people one by one. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. I can't just pray that God will save the whole world. He's not going to do that. He already made the means for all the world to be saved when he sent Jesus. But I can start praying for my neighbor, my relative. And I can witness to my neighbor, witness to my relative. You know, I'm not responsible for the whole world, but I am responsible for my world. Does that make sense? And I can't change every marriage, but I can sure make a difference in mine. God grant me the strength to accept things I cannot change. Courage to change things I can. And the wisdom to know the difference. Man, I love that prayer. The more I think about that, the more scriptural that prayer really is. Because it boils down to understanding authority. What we have authority over, what we don't have authority over. Our realm of authority, as it were. So, God, when he made man, he said, let them have dominion. That's interesting. God made us to rule. That's what he made us for. I mean, he made us to dominate. He made us to take authority. Most of the time we're not taking authority. We kind of let things happen in our life. We don't pray about it. We don't believe God. We don't trust God. And whatever happens, we just say, well, whatever. You know, it must have been God's will. I guess it wasn't God, or I guess it was God. Or no, actually, you're in the middle of this thing. God put you in here to have authority. He actually made the world and put you over it. put man over it, and that's why it's in a mess, because man did the wrong thing. But God didn't jerk his authority back away from him. Hello. He still has a certain amount of authority as long as he's in this earth. He said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle over all the earth, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. The Amplified says, God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority. Wow. Y'all see that? Let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds there, the tame beasts, and over all the earth, over everything that creeps upon the earth. 28th verse says, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Everybody say subdue it. Okay. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds there, over every living thing that moves on the earth. See, most of the life, we go through life and we just give in to everything. Uh-huh. And we just kind of play that victim card. You know, there's nothing I can do. Well, you know, I just had a tough time. This, you know, at some point, we got to take dominion. You say, how do you do that? You start praying. Sure. You start believing God. You start quoting the promises. You start saying, no, 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 we're not going to put up with that. Hello. No, sir, not my house. No, 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 no. Sometimes turn the news on. You hear all this bad stuff going on. You go, wow, it's terrible, man. I got to get me another Valium or something, you know, or just pop some pill or something. Just to make it through the day, you know, woo, wow. Did you hear all the bad news? Oh, you know, no, you ought to look at that TV and say, no, 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 and turn the thing off.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
And say, I'm not putting up with that. I'm not going to join that recession. No, my God supplies my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Right.
I have authority, and I can make a difference here.
That's right. Good.
I'm not here to be overcome by the world. I'm here to overcome the world.
That's right. Amen.
But Scripture says, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world.
Right.
Now, I said this the other night. God didn't send the problem to you. He sent you to the problem. Excuse me for getting stirred up. So, this 28th verse where it says, subdue it. I love this. The Message says, He created them male and female. God blessed them. And in explanation points and bold letters, it says, prosper, reproduce, fill earth, take charge. I love that. Take charge. Be responsible for the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. Wow. Man, I've got authority, and you've got authority. See, that's what prayer is all about. You know, in just a simple, what we call the Lord's Prayer, and actually it was a pattern prayer, in Matthew the 6th chapter, 9th verse, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, Jesus prayed that. They asked him, you know, about prayer, and he says, after this manner, pray ye. He said, pray this way. And we just flip right by that thing. Don't even think about it. I mean, I hear people pray that prayer. Don't even think about the words. It's like singing these songs and never listening to the words. I tell you, I get all into the worship. Yes, I'm into the worship, the mood, the singing, and so on. So, but I am listening. I'm hanging on those words. That's why we're real sticklers around here about what we're saying when we sing. A lot of these songs, you don't realize that we've actually changed some lines in some of those songs. Because there's a line or two we didn't think was very scriptural. Good song, but we had to change a line or two. Because we think about what we say. And I'm just wrapped up in what we're saying there and just thinking about God. My hope's in you. You know that song we just sang?
Yeah.
Right out of Psalms 25. Man, it's just awesome. Well, that Lord's Prayer, that is awesome. God said, after this manner pray. Jesus said it. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now see, that simple line right there. We're to pray. We, you and I, have responsibility and authority to pray for God's will to be done in the earth. As it is in heaven. Everybody say, as it is in heaven.
As it is in heaven.
You don't pray for heaven. You have no authority in heaven. Not right now, you don't. Hello. You don't pray for anything to happen in heaven. Anybody prayed for heaven lately? No. You don't have any kind of authority in heaven. We're to pray for this earth, for His will to be done in earth. Why pray for His will to be done? Because if you don't pray for it to be done, it won't be done. Now you got to chew on that one. Well, I thought everything happens to God. Well, that's the whole point we're making here. Everything that happens is not God. We see things happening all the time that's not God. What are we going to do about it? We're going to start praying for His will to be done. What is His will? Well, how is it in heaven? However it is in heaven is the way it's supposed to be down here. Now, granted, we're not going to change the whole world, but we can change it one person at a time. We can change it in my life, in your life. You can do it in your life. That's where your realm of authority is. You need to take charge. Now, I'm saying with God, with His word, with His power. He gets all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. I understand that. Any authority you have is delegated. He has the ultimate authority. But He's not going to do what He gave you authority to do. He's not going to save you until you call on Him. And if you want to look at the world, what a mess it's in, some people doing good, some people doing bad, well, let's go look at hell. There's hell, people in hell, and people in heaven. You can't blame God for hell. They had a choice, didn't they? He's still a good God, isn't He? So you say, well, is every individual that's messed up and starving around the world is their fault? No, it's man's fault. That's not necessarily the individual's fault. It could be someone over them or their government or ancestor or whatever, but definitely back to Adam. See, the world's in a mess because of man. Until Jesus comes back, we are going to have to pray and believe God and stand on His word. We're going to have to live holy and live right. We're going to have to do what we can, work hard, make a difference. We can't wait around and just hope God does something. God has done something. You know what He did? You. Now, He's going to come take it all over one day, but right now, you're it.
That's right.
It's kind of scary, isn't it? It shouldn't be. It ought to stir us. That's why prayer is so effective. That's why you can believe and trust God and make a difference. That's why you can come into a community, a church can actually change the culture and the tone, the spirit of a city. A church has that kind of authority because it's full of people that are believing God and living their lives in businesses and neighborhoods and with relatives, shining the light, making a difference. Hallelujah, that's made a difference. It's made a difference in our community. You know, we just didn't settle for way Halloween's been going in our town. We said, hey, we're going to do it different. We're going to make a difference. We're going to shine our light, and we're going to take that thing over, and we're going to talk about Jesus that night. And I mean, we've taken the whole town over. Not we. I mean, all the churches are involved in this. I don't take credit. But I'm saying us as people have made that difference. God didn't just come down and do that. He did it through us. He wanted to all the time, but He's waiting for us to do something. Everything a church does in a city, every good church, and there's a lot of great churches in this town, every great outreach, every great difference any church in this town has made, has been made because God gave those people authority to make a difference in Wells Point, Texas, where we live. Just like He did for every church and every person that knows Jesus in every town in the world. We can make a difference.
That's right.
Amen. And we need to take charge.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The charge God gave us. Don't twist it. We're not God. We're not going to be God. But we have a charge from God. And our charge is to put it back in shape, put it back in order. In fact, this is interesting. Where in the second chapter there in Genesis, where it says, 15th verse, then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it or to cultivate it. Actually, what he did, the message says, He put him in the garden to work the ground and to keep it in order. If there's anything out of order in the world, it's not God, it's man's fault. But the good news is that we can little by little put it back in order. Isn't that right?
That's right.
That's really what we do when someone gets in sin, we try to restore them. You get in sin, you get out of order. And repentance and restoring someone puts them back in, it restores them, puts them back in order. Every time you lay hands on someone to be healed or every time a healing takes place in someone's life, God restores something and puts it back in order. Healing doesn't disrupt. Healing actually puts things back in order. There's been a disruption. There's been a mess up. It's called sickness. Healing is not some weird thing. Healing actually puts things back in order. Because legs were made to walk, and eyes were made to see, and hands were made to work. And so when someone gets healed and they walk on their legs, that's what they were made to do. That's, you know, hello. And when blind eyes are opened, that's what eyes are made. They're supposed to see. It's the way God made eyes, to see with. So healing is not some weird thing. We talk about it being some mystical, supernatural thing. But that's why God tells us to pray for one another, that we may be healed. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's why Jesus constantly was healing people, because he put things back in order. He's fixing all the mess ups. Amen? And that's what we pray for, and that's how we pray. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Psalms 115. Take this to heart. I hope you're taking notes, underline, circle, or whatever you got to do. Get it in you. See, you take it down on a personal level. I'm trying to do that, connect with you on a personal level. And we can look at the world at large and talk about theories and concepts here, but really it comes down to you personally praying and believing God, because that's what you're made for.
Amen.
You're made to make a difference.
Yep.
You know, you really were. And you can. That's the good news. You can. You're ordained. This is your charge. God has charged you.
That's right.
I think of Timothy. Paul charged Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, he says, I charge you therefore by God. In his appearing to judge the quick and the dead and the angels, preach the word. He had a charge. See? A duty. A responsibility. To do something. And in his case, of course, as a minister, he was supposed to preach the word. Well, God's telling us that we have a duty, we have a charge, we have a responsibility to make a difference, to turn things around, turn your marriage around, turn your health around, if that's the case, your neighborhood around. Turn around, do your part. Maybe you can't change the whole block, but you can change the next door neighbor. Something. You can change somebody. Somebody will get it. Maybe they won't all get it, but somebody will get it. You know, I mentioned Brenda was talking about, we were praying for a friend of mine, you know, today. Danny Riley, actually, he's come to the church a couple of times. And you remember Danny?
Yeah.
I think he lives over in the Van area, way over, I think, the other side of that. He travels a lot, where still works out a lot. He's gone most of the time. He'll call me every once in a while, you know, to get me to pray with him or talk about the Bible or something. I witnessed him for probably 5 years. I'm talking every day. You can't imagine. Can you imagine going... sitting in a truck with me. Okay. Every day.
Sometimes an hour and a half
we drove one way. And I would just preach to him and preach to him and preach to him. Every sermon I heard, I'd preach it back to him. Everything I read, I'd preach it back to him, preach it back, preach it to him, preach it to him. I worked on him and worked on him. And he was a good man, but he was lost, you know. He would say things like, you know, Mike, you know, you were so wild, you needed to get saved. He says, I'm a good man. I don't beat my wife. I don't cuss much. And he was going on, you know, he was going through. Why did he get saved? I said, because you're going to hell, Danny. That's why. Real simple. You got to have Jesus go to heaven. I mean, we'd go back and forth, you know. And I just preached. And we had a great relationship. We were friends. I think you can be friends with people you work with that are lost. Stay with me. But just make sure you keep ministering to them. Keep preaching to him. And anyway, well, he finally got saved, you know. I wasn't there when it happened, but he got saved and called me up on the phone. And just we all cried and had a big time. Just thanked me for witnessing to him all those years. Thanked me for, hallelujah. See, I made a difference. Made a difference in my world where I lived. I actually saw a lot of those guys get saved. One of those guys that worked on that job was Don Murphy. About 3 years he worked there. I witnessed him. Rode with him on some jobs. Actually, I worked with him before I went to work for Danny. And I witnessed to him and witnessed to a couple of other guys. J.T. Adams, another one, and some others. One guy led to the Lord, and it wasn't probably a year or so later, he was killed on a construction job, got electrocuted. Another guy from my hometown, Robert Windham was his name. But he got saved. Got saved. I led him to the Lord, prayed with him, you know. Accepted Jesus, took him to Lakewood. He went to some Bible studies with us, and I lost touch with him, and then not too much longer, he got killed. Thank God he's in heaven. You know, did I change the whole world? No, a lot of those guys did get saved. But I'll tell you, some of them did. Amen? Somebody will. Psalm 115, found it?
Yes.
Who's in charge?
Yeah.
Now, you can say God, but wait a minute. God put us. Now, of course, God's in charge ultimately. But see, he's given us authority. Y'all get it? He's given us the, it's kind of like a principal. You'd say he's in charge of a school, but really, those individual classrooms have teachers in them. Isn't that correct? I mean, the principal's not going out dishing out all the punishment and getting all the discipline, teaching all the subjects. The principal's in his office, and then they report to him, but they have authority in each one of those little classrooms. And they can't wait around in that classroom for the principal to come straighten everything out. That's what they're there for.
That's right.
And ultimately, the principal, of course, he's under the superintendent and the school board. But the school board's sure not down there every day with those kids in each one of those classrooms. You have a whole line of delegated authority. So who's in charge of that classroom? Well, you could say, well, you know, school, well, state of Texas, I guess, or the government of the United States of America, ultimately. But no, you just have to say the teacher is. Isn't that right?
Yep.
Now, she has to answer, he has to answer to someone, but that classroom has been delegated to them to exercise authority and control in that classroom. Ultimately, God owns everything. I know that. I understand that. But God put us here in dominion. And we can wait around all we want to, but God's waiting on us to take our authority in our classroom.
Amen.
Amen. Here's what he says here. Oh, boy. This, I don't know if you're ready for this. Ready? 100. Psalms 100. 100. That's East Texas for 100. Psalms 100 and 15, verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Okay? Wow. I mean, we're going over. How many scriptures have we gone over already here? Genesis 1:26, Genesis 1:28, Genesis 2:15, Psalms 8. Now we're Psalms 115, verse 16. You know what the Message translation says here? It says, he has put us in charge of the earth. That's what he had. The earth, now, it may be the Lord's. He may own it, but he has put us in charge of it. He's given it over to us. That's that delegated. It's like a lease, if you think of a lease. In fact, turn over to Mark 5. Mark 5. Maybe this explains some stuff to you. It'll help you, I know that. It helps me put it all together, because, you know, come on, man. When you look around, you see all the stuff going on in the world. You know, you want to reconcile what you believe with the life you live here, and I believe it can be reconciled. I believe there's answers. Sometimes they're not one word answer. Sometimes they're not one sentence answers. Some people, we live in a world of sound bites, and they want you to give them a yes-no answer or a one-sentence answer, and then when you try to explain it, they go, oh, that's just too complicated. But some things aren't just complicated. If you want me to tell you how to build an engine, first of all, you need to ask somebody else. But if you want me to tell you how to build an engine, I can't tell you that one sentence. Are you kidding? That's just a little more complicated than the one sentence answer. Ultimately, you know, what's going on in the world and problems in the world is not God's fault. That's true. But why is that? You know, first they'll say, oh, that's just too simplistic. Well, let me explain to you. Well, that's just too complicated. Well, now, well, you can't have it both ways. You don't want a simple answer. You don't want a complicated answer. But life is not always simple. Are you with me? And the simple answer to it is God is good, devil's bad. What's wrong with the world is not God. Okay? That's the simple answer. But that didn't give you a lot of detail. And people struggle with that, and they don't understand that. The complicated answer is going through several scriptures and some of the things we're talking about here today. It has to do with authority, sin that entered the world, and God's coming back and going to straighten all out one day. He is going to do that. Amen? Mark 5 says this. This is it. When I say Mark 12, excuse me. Mark 12. I didn't mean 5. I was thinking 12 when I said 5. Okay. That's the complicated answer. The simple answer is I just told you the wrong chapter. Mark 12. This is fascinating because Mark 12 really, Jesus is answering a question about authority. If you had time, go back. If you're really interested in this and you just... this really lights up to you. Go read the latter part of chapter 11, where they had come to him and they'd ask him about his authority. You know, what kind of authority he had. Where do you have this authority? Who gave you this authority? And he asked them a question. Well, whose authority did John have? Was it from heaven or was it of man? And they wouldn't answer him, because they knew if they answered it was from man, then the people would stone him because they loved John. The people loved John. If they said it was from God, he'd say, well, why didn't you follow? And they said, well, we can't tell. He said, fine, I'm not going to answer your question either. I like that. Jesus didn't have to answer everybody's question. He said, he would answer questions with questions generally. Because if they really didn't want the answer, he wasn't interested in giving them the time of day.
That's right.
And they didn't really want the answer. They were just trying to trap him. He says, well, let me ask you a question. John's baptism, was it from heaven or was it of man? Well, we don't know. We can't tell. Well, they knew. They didn't want to say. He said, well, fine, I want to answer your question. But let me tell you a story. This is what Jesus would do. He would tell stories, simple little stories. And this is the story. 12, I just gave you the lead in to this, 12th chapter, Mark. Then he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard, set a hedge around it, dug a place for the wine vat, and built a tower. And he leased it to the vine dressers and went into a far country. I think King James says, let it out. Lease, New King James. Everybody say lease.
Lease.
You understand lease? Okay, who owned it? The man owned it, but he leased it to others, right? Okay. Now, at vintage time, second verse, when the vines are ripe, he sent a servant to the vine dressers that he might receive some of the fruit of the vineyard from the vine dressers. And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And again, he sent them another servant, and at him they threw stones, wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully treated. And again, he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some, killing some, therefore still having one son, his beloved. He also sent him to them last, saying, they will respect my son. But those vine dressers said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. So they took him, and they killed him, and cast him out of the vineyard. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come, and he will destroy the vine dressers and give the vineyard to others. Have you not even read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. 12th verse, and they sought to lay hands on him, but feared the multitude, for they knew he had spoken this parable against them. So they left him and went away. Now, obviously, we know what the parable's about. The parable's about authority and how these people had made a mockery of the things of God as the priest of God and the people of God, and they had slandered God. And Jesus come along and he says, "That's God's not anything like that. He's not anything like you're saying he is. You bunch of mean snakes." That's what he called them. He says, you're mean, you're hard, you're legalistic, you're unforgiving. This is not what it's about. So he comes along, he starts forgiving people. People start hanging around him that were sinners and lost people and wine bibbers and tax collectors and what we call low lives, and their lives were changed. And he'd run across people who are sick and he'd heal them. In essence, this is what we're supposed to be doing, and yet you're doing none of that. But the point he's saying is, it's messed up because of you.
Right.
Not because of God. Y'all catch that? That's not an indictment on us. I'm just saying religion messed it up. But religion was what man did. And man had authority because man had leased. He had the lease on it. And God allowed all that because he couldn't take the lease back. See, it'd be like if I leased out 100 acres to somebody, 100, you know what 100 is, and they had a 5-year lease on it. Are you with me? 5-year lease. And they lease it and they go plant yellow squash. Now I own this property and I don't like yellow squash. And I go up to him and I said, you know, I really wish y'all wouldn't plant that yellow squash. I really don't like yellow squash. Now, in reality, I love yellow squash, okay? I want y'all to know that. I'll eat it any way you cook it. I don't care, you boil it, you fry it, I'll eat a love yellow squash. But it's a story. And I go to them and I say, hey, I want you to plant some watermelons. And they said, well, we're not planting watermelons. We've got a lease on this for 5 years. And I said, well, look, that's my land. I own that land. And I want you to plant watermelons. You know, legally, they don't have to. And my neighbors would come up to me and says, man, what are you doing with all that yellow squash out there on your property? And I said, well, I leased it to these guys. And they said, well, you own it. Why don't you do something about it? I can't believe you're growing all that yellow squash. I'm not growing that yellow squash. I leased it to these guys over here, and I told them I didn't want it, but I can't do anything about it. I leased it to them. Hello? Y'all catching this?
Amen.
And so I'm getting this bad rap here from all my neighbors because I own this 100 acres. But I can't do anything about it because I've leased it out. Well, are you going to do? Are you ever going to do anything about it? Yeah, when the lease runs out, I'm taking it back over.
Come on. That's right.
I'm going to come back in there, and we're going to root out all that yellow squash, and we're going to be spitting watermelon seeds for eternity. Or something like that, you know. Get it? Now, the world is that way. Of course, Jesus is talking about religion in particular, how they just, the covenants, the promise, and so on and so forth. But see, the world is that way. The world is under a lease. Man has a time on this earth. Remember the demons that told Jesus, have you come to torment us before the time? Remember that? There's a time when Jesus is coming back. And until then, it's going to rock on like it's going. Now, you and I can make a difference in our world. But until Jesus comes back, the whole world's not going to be fixed.
Amen.
Catch it? And so that makes a lot of sense. So who's in charge? Well, we are. And a lot of other we's, a lot of other people. So that's why you see some good things, you see some bad things, you see some things working, you see some things not working, because of the authority we all have in this earth. You and I can make a difference with Jesus in our lives. We can turn some things around. We can put some order in there. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everyone was saved and everyone knew Jesus and everyone obeyed the word, did the right thing, planted the watermelons instead of the yellow squash, found out what God really wanted, and started doing what he said.
Yeah.
Oh, we have the right to do what we want to, but you know, he knows some things that are better than what
Amen.
We think
right.
we ought
right.
to do.
Right.
And although we have the authority, you see, the wisdom comes from God. I have authority, but wisdom comes from God. So I need to exercise my authority in line with what he tells me to exercise my authority in line with. And although he wants it, he can't do it except through us. I wish there was more love. Well, I need to love more.
Amen.
Isn't that right? Because I'm the one he put down here to love. I wish people were kinder. Well, I need to be kinder. I wish, you know, there was more things about the Lord around here. More things about Jesus around here. Well, you're it. God put you here to make that difference. Amen.